This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With licensed psychologist and guest John Delatorre.
The trial of James Crumbly about to get underway. This is right after his wife went to trial and was found guilty of second degree manslaughter after their son Ethan Crumbly went into his school, Oxford High School, and slaughtered many of his classmates. The question is, how accountable should parents be for the actions of their children? Joining me to discuss, John Delatorre. Doctor, I got to ask, this is an interesting one. Very different people, very different psychological states at the time that this crime took place. How much do you think that will be playing into what the jury thinks about James and his accountability in this?
You know, I don't know that there's going to be much difference in terms of how the prosecution presents their case and how the jury thinks about this case. I think each one is obviously different, right? One was the mother, one's the father. But I think the jury is going to view both of these individuals as being sort of co-sharing the amount of responsibility. It's weird in cases where there's two defendants, right? Two co-defendants, even if their cases are severed. Juries have been known to sort of, if one's already in prison for the crime, then they're less likely to find the second person as responsible. But this is too unique of a case that I think a jury is going, despite whatever, you know, the defense puts on, the jury is going to see the level of responsibility being equal across parents rather than one parent being more responsible than the other.
It's an interesting one because they did bring up, flaws in character in his wife's trial of Jennifer Crumbly. They brought up that she was having an affair. They even brought in the person she was having an affair with to testify. James would be, you know, the husband that was being cheated on. He was also, by many accounts, very sad, very depressed, lost his job, was trying to make ends meet, doing DoorDash. I mean, that was basically the excuse half the time of where he was. He was doing DoorDash and not being present in the home with the kid. Is that going to play a factor in this at all? Or are those just kind of factors that really don't have a whole lot to do with this, but, you know, did seemingly play a role in convicting Jennifer?
Well, I think when it came to Jennifer, I think a lot of the salacious details that came out with the affairs that she was having really tainted her as being just a problematic mother mm-hmm. from the beginning. As opposed to this idea that, you know, he's a sad guy and he has doing DoorDash, stuff like that. I mean, so do a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And in this economy, I mean, people need 2-3 jobs and driving for Uber or, you know, DoorDash or whatever. Like, you know, that's just something that people do that I don't know that a jury is going to use that as an acceptable excuse of not being present for your parental responsibilities.
There's some text messages that are certainly going to be brought up. One of the text messages when his son came to him with some troubles, basically telling him to suck it up and take some pills and go on with life before the shooting. How do you think that's going to play to a jury? It feels very cold on the outside here, but I could also see someone who, you know, may not have a lot of knowledge on mental health or how to handle situations like this saying that. I mean, it sounds like something my dad would say, or not even the pill part, but just suck it up, you know, keep going on. A different way of parenting or a way of parenting that many people, you know, still subscribe to today.
Well, I think, you know, it's certainly a unique insight because here we have this text message saying that he just needs to suck it up, but his defense team is coming out. Well, he was oh so sad, and mm-hmm. that's why he's not able to be present for his child. And it's true that there are a lot of parents who simply just do not know what resources are available. Mm-hmm. I think what the problem that juries have is that when someone makes an outcry like this, you expect an emotional tug by the parent. Like, they try to do something, Even if that thing is kind of unsophisticated or they don't really know what they do, the expectation is not that you take them out shooting and you leave the gun available for them to use, right? Like, there's an expectation of what to do mm-hmm. when your child makes a statement like this, even if you don't know what to do. But finding like target practice and you know, being so ingrained with weapons and stuff like that, I don't think that people would think that, oh, well, that's the most automatic response to have
sure.
when your child is complaining.
Sure. One thing that was brought up in the trial of Jennifer Crumbly, and it was a question of is this relevant to the case? Because we're talking, this is not the trial of their son, of Ethan, who was the school shooter. When you would be looking at, okay, the dynamics of what took place in the actual building. This is more so arguing what took place before the son went to the building, was bringing in school witnesses, witnesses that were there the day of the shooting, witnesses that could testify to turning over a body, of realizing that James Crumbly, or that rather Ethan Crumbly was the shooter. One of the teachers testified to that. Things that are not about the weapon or about him getting the weapon, obviously extremely emotional, things that will tug on the heartstrings of jurors. But if we're strictly looking at James Crumbly, his accountability in terms of his son getting this weapon, in terms of his son not having the mental health help that he needed, should there be school witnesses testifying in this trial? Obviously, it already happened with Jennifer, right or wrong, but is it right or wrong in this case to have them testify to the details of what happened in that building that day? Does it pertain to James's, you know, innocence or guilt in terms of what he's being charged with?
Well, I think that's the statement right there, is evidence is only relevant to prove whatever the allegation is. Mm-hmm. So if he's charged with something that is even remotely associated with the shooting, then having those witnesses come in from the school and testifying to their experiences establishes that the shooting occurred. Mm-hmm. If the person is facing charges that have nothing to do with the shooting and only to do with negligence as a parent, that's not a criminal act, but let's just say that it is, then no, probably not. I think every relevancy has to, the evidence that's brought in has to be relevant to for the state to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. And if the charges are related to some event occurring and you are negligent in your behaviors and that event occurs, then the prosecution has to be able to prove that the event occurred. And whether it's right or not, whether it's emotional or not, juries are instructed with how to weigh the evidence. I mean, yes, they're humans and all this other stuff, but the law is the law. And when they get their instructions to go back and deliberate, they're going to be told just how they are to weigh each piece of evidence. And if you're weighing it based on the emotions that were elicited, then maybe you weren't really paying attention to some things. So is it right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Should it be there? That just depends on the charge.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.